The following presentation has been prepared by the Video Tax News team for Canadian tax and financial professionals. Program recorded April 22nd, 2024. Enjoy.
Welcome to the May edition of Life in the Tax Lane, hot off the heels of the 2024 federal budget.
Oh, it was exciting. The whole Video Tax News team, well, Caitlin, Hugh, and I were there, and we got to pore over all those documents. But Hugh, why don't we start off with the big news in respect of capital gains inclusion rates?
Yeah, what a shocker, Joe. The first year in a long time I can remember we didn't have massive rumors about the inclusion rate going up right before the budget. So they said, this must be the time. Let's jump it up to two-thirds, but with a few twists. It'll be two-thirds for almost everybody, except individuals are going to get the first $250,000 a year at the old 50% rate, which should mean that only a tiny fraction of 1% of Canadians are affected in any given year. But if you got assets in a corporation, assets that may be disposed of in a trust and the gains not flowed out, okay, now you're looking at two-thirds right from the get-go, which is a one-third increase to the tax cost on those capital gains. So pretty significant. That had us looking at the other oddity here. It's not effective on budget day. It's effective on June 25th and forward. So finance has afforded a 10-week grace period if you would like to pre-realize some capital gains, get your 50% inclusion rate locked in, but pay your tax up front. So there's going to be some math and some planning for that. If you're not going to sell the asset for 25 years, do you really want to pre-pay all that tax? If you're going to sell it next year, all of a sudden it makes a lot more sense to get 50% instead of two-thirds. And then I got to look at what kind of assets I'm dealing with. It's pretty easy to trigger a gain on portfolio securities, just get the broker to sell. But if we're talking about an apartment block or privately held shares, there's a lot of assets that aren't that easy to just trigger an immediate sale on, or even to determine what their value is at the outset. So there's going to be an awful lot to think about here. And adding to the fun, Joe, we don't know the rules because we don't have the draft legislation yet, much less the final legislation. And I don't think we're going to get a lot more clarity before June 24th.
No, we're definitely going to have to keep our eyes open for that. And some of the things I'm thinking about here is if you do decide to trigger some of those capital gains, don't forget, if you're triggering it in a corporation, you get a buildup of your capital dividend account, which will allow you to also transfer some funds out of your corporation to your hands personally so that you can start investing that way. So that might be a double win scenario. And if you trigger the gains now and you decide later, hey, I don't want to pay tax this year for my corporation anyways, well, you can sell some losses there and wipe them out if you choose to. So there are some options. Caitlin?
Lots of thinking on the capital gain side, and that has sucked up a lot of the airtime from the 2024 federal budget. But there are also several smaller provisions that were snuck in there that we're not really hearing a ton about. So, for example, we had a proposed expansion to the student loan forgiveness rules under the current rules. If we have a doctor, nurse practitioner working in a sufficiently rural or kind of non-urban community, you could get that loan forgiveness. That has been significantly proposed to be significantly broadened to include early childhood educators, dentists, dental hygienists, pharmacists, midwives, teachers, social workers, personal support workers, physiotherapists, psychologists, psychologists. So a much broader list there. So some cool stuff there. Also, another sleeper in there, registered education savings plans. There's been lots of feedback, or at least some feedback to the government, that some of these lower income Canadians aren't getting the free money under the Canada Learning Bond because their parents aren't setting up those RESPs. So the Fed says, you know what, we'll set up those RESPs proactively such that kids can get that free money automatically deposited into those RESPs accounts. That's going to take a few years to roll out, but definitely a positive change there. And then we're also seeing more funding to the CRA in their work dealing with the real estate sector. We had another consultation being floated about a brand new tax on residentially zoned vacant land. So lots of interesting provisions kind of buried in that really massive document.
Well, hopefully all these changes don't make us go visit our psychologicalists too frequently in the near future. Anyways, the next item that I want to talk about is, well, actually, before I even get into that, we do have our top 8 list of things that came out of the budget. So click on the link in the notes as well. Now, the next thing is home office expenses. What happens if you got multiple employers or clients? And here we had an individual who was a nurse who actually worked every year that was being reviewed by 3 different employers. And each of those employers had clients in various locations. And this nurse's job was to go to all of those clients' locations for each of the employees. He did have a home office, which was his headquarters, where he stored files. He did a little bit of work. He took phone consultations. And now he wants to write off the expenses associated with that home. Well, the first thing that it was noted was he did have T2200s for each of these employers. And each of them said he had to work from home 20% of the time, 30, 40% of the time. The first thing the judge said here is that if you want to be eligible to write these things off, the first test, which requires you to perform, principally perform your duties, your employment duties from that home office, you can't just take the 20 plus 30 plus 40 and get over 50%. That's not how this works here. You got to evaluate each of your employment arrangements separately. None were over 50, so you're out of luck. You can't get in under that provision. The other one is if you can show that you use that place exclusively for doing these employment type duties, but you also have to be meeting clients on a regular and continuous basis. And the judge said, you know what, these phone consultations don't count. They have to be in-person meetings. Just an informal decision from the tax court. We've had other informal ones that said telephone meetings can count. So we've sort of got a bit of a questionable, uncertain gray area now. So just a court case to watch out for. Hugh? Mm-hmm.
Well, Joel, given CRA has dismissed all the old cases that said it does count, I think they're going to believe this is the one that got it right. So it's not going to be any easier to get those home office expense deductions. You know, I got to say something nice for CRA today. Good job from what we're hearing in the preliminary stages. A lot of people have struggled getting online with CRA's portals because they go on because they're all excited to get that online access. And then they get partway through the process and it says, okay, now start checking your mailbox for the security code we're going to send you. It should be there in 2 to 3 weeks. Then when it finally shows up, they don't remember to clock it in and activate their account. Well, CRA just recently rolled out a new approach. You use an picture of your government issued ID, you take it with your smartphone or your iPad, you upload it to them, and bang, you have access. Now, that could be a passport, a driver's license, provincial or territorial ID card. You do still need data from your 2023 or 2022 income tax return, but as a tax advisor, I'm thinking, this is a lot better for my not that great with a computer client who can't get onto my business account and authorize me to get access. Now we can do the whole process sitting at a boardroom in my office and we're in and they can grant us access. So a huge improvement for people trying to get that information without compromising the security of that very sensitive financial data. Good job. And from all accounts we're hearing, it works.
Yes, very well. Another item we wanted to hit today, psychotherapy and counseling therapy services. This is a provision snuck into a bill that's working its way through the government right now, but essentially it's proposed that these services would be made exempt for GST. So for some of you in this field, you're thinking, okay, it's exempt from GST. Great. We don't have to, if we're providing these services, charge GST, HST on these services. Great. That's part one. But remember, as a service provider, you're not going to be able to recover the GST paid on that capital property, the furniture, the computer that you acquired to provide those services. So that's part one. Part two you need to be aware of. If you are going from a taxable supply previous to this change to an exempt supply under the detailed provisions of this weird, funky excise tax act, that is going to lead to a change in use, which, if you want to dig through the details, will result in many of these practitioners having to remit a check to the CRA in respect of GST they've previously acquired, and they're not going to be able to claim it back. So if you're impacted by these changes, you got to dig into the details because there's some hidden traps in there. Now, Joe, last thing we wanted to hit.
Yeah, that's right. Some people have thought about, hey, I don't want to be part of the CPP program. I'm going to just pay my owner-manager dividends only so I don't have any pensionable earnings. We've got a good article that talks a little bit about that, saying, hey, maybe you want to rethink this, even if you are an owner-manager and you do have to essentially pay both sides of the CPP calculation. They talk about a number of benefits that are from CPP, such like it being a defined benefit pension plan with a whole bunch of protection in it. So definitely take a look at this article. It talks about how much you can actually accumulate in your corporation instead.
The Video Tax News team has been providing Canadian accounting professionals with practical tax information for over 40 years. Subscribe to one of our tax newsletters or join us as we present live and pre-recorded seminars relating to both personal and corporate tax. For more information, go to videotax.com. The preceding information is for general information purposes only and deals with dynamic, time-sensitive, and complex matters that may not apply to particular facts or circumstances. Information provided should not be relied upon as a substitute for specialized professional advice in connection with any particular matter. For more information, go to videotax.com/disclaimer. Copyright Video Tax News, Inc., 2024, all rights reserved.